first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head as he lay in bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me. I approached one of the attendants to ask him the truth concerning all of this. So he said that he would disclose to me the interpretation of the matter. As for these four great beasts, four kings shall arise out of the earth. But the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. The psalm this morning is from Psalm 149. We will read this together.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in its Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the people takes pleasure in his people. He adores the humble with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches. Let the high praises of God in their throats, and two-edged swords in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with chains of iron, to execute on them the judgment of decree. This is the glory of all his faithful ones. Praise the Lord.
The second lesson this morning is from Ephesians, the first chapter. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. He has put all things under his feet and has made him head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Here ends the reading.
Blessed are you who weep now, exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received, your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children who are here to come and join me for the children's message. And I'm going to have you sit here, because we're going to watch something on the screen in a minute. So I'm going to have you sit here. Good job. Reagan's walking up too. Good job. Oh, thank you. So as she's coming up, here we go with your Tia. Very nice. So I have a question for you. Did we just have a special holiday? Yeah?
Halloween.
Halloween. What did you do on Halloween? Mr. Kevin is going to ring for us up at the organ, because we remember Okay, thank you all so much. You can head back to your seats now. Thanks to my sound booth crew, Jeffrey Roberts and Ricky Fair, for making that video work. That was the pastor last minute saying, hey, do this for me. So I appreciate you making that video work for me. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, on this day that we celebrate All Saints Day, we lift up to you the saints on earth and the saints in heaven, and know that we have the great gift of life everlasting. We pray that we would be able to remember those who are no longer with us with sadness for ourselves, but also with joy for the life eternal that they have. In your name we pray. Amen. I think that we are not good at talking about dying. We're not good at it, are we? I think it's something that as a whole we don't do well. It's something that we avoid. It's something that we don't want to think about and don't want to talk about, as if talking about the end of our life is going to somehow bring it about more suddenly. I think we spend so much of our lives running from death. Just think about all the things that we do in our lives to make us appear younger, live longer, last into our great years. We do all these things throughout our lives to try and extend life further and further, as if we are running from death. Death is seen somehow in our lives as the ultimate failure at life, instead of just its natural conclusion. Think about when you're reading a book, like a good book. You know, not a lousy book that you kind of have to suffer through or that you skip after the third chapter, but a really good book. When you get to the end of it, how do you feel? Maybe a little bit sad that it's over. But after reading a really good book, after finishing it, don't you say to others, oh, this is such a wonderful book, such a satisfying story. Let me tell you about it. What if we looked at our lives and the lives of our saints in that same way, not as something to mourn, but as a story to share on? Yet we use a lot of euphemisms around death, don't we, right? We say that somebody is no longer with us, that they passed on, passed away, expired, bought the farm, went to a better place, that we lost her. When people die, they aren't lost. That's a word we use for a lot of things. When you lose your keys or your purse or your kid in a grocery store. But when people die, they are not lost. We know exactly where they are. We, as people of faith, have faith that they are in the presence of our Lord. So if this is such good news, why are we so afraid to talk about it? Why do we shield our kids from talking about it? Why do we shield those who are nearing the end of their lives from thinking about it? Part of me wonders if, when we think about death, we can't imagine this world existing without us. Almost like we have severe FOMO. Do you know that FOMO, fear of missing out? It's like we can't imagine this world going on without us, and that's hard to imagine. But I think today in the church, today, this All Saints Day, I think it's a good start. I think that this is a day that we could lift up more, and we should lift up more in the church, because it encapsulates our story as people of faith, that when we leave this earth, there is a new life waiting for us. I asked what special holidays were this week, and we had Halloween. And Ben, what other holiday was there today? Oh, we were about to sneeze. All Saints Day! All Saints Day! Very nice, Mia. Say it again. Día de los Muertos. And you being in a Spanish language. language school can say that much better than I. Yeah. So last Sunday we had trunk or treat, where people got candy from cars, and people dressed up and folks decorated their trunks in all sorts of ways. The Herman family decorated their trunk in a Dia de los Muertos theme. And I talked with Mary Jo Herman, a member of our church, actually the council secretary, and she had us all decorated, and she said, you know, I feel bad, I'm Honduran, but I'm kind of taking this Mexican holiday. I said, that's okay, we'll just kind of take it for today. But she decorated, and she and her husband were in costume, and their trunk was decorated, and they had all of these pictures of their relatives who had passed, honoring them on the day of the dead, the day of those who had gone before. And she said to me, you know, if I had thought about it a little bit beforehand, if I had coordinated, what would have really been nice is to include the pictures of all those saints from our church, because we've lost many this past year, as we'll hear when we honor them. And she said, I thought about that. What if we were to picture them, have their pictures up here? And I thought, what a beautiful idea that this woman who didn't know a lot of the people who had died, they're much older than her, went to a different worship service than her, but she understood that idea that here at this church is where we celebrate the lives of those saints who had gone before us. Today, when we remember those who have died and we recall them as saints and we hear that chime, it's not because they are saints for their behavior or because they lived perfect lives, but it's because they are cloaked in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Through baptism, our baptism into the family of Christ and being made in the image of God is how we are made saints. For Christians, death does not equal destruction. Death means many things, but it does not equal destruction. Mostly, it means new life. Death means new life for us, because we are people of death and resurrection. This is what we base our whole story on. In baptism, what do we say? That we are washed clean, that we are dying to our old sin and made new. We are reborn. See, I am making all things new. There's a reason that we wear white today, and the pyramids are white today. And I don't know if it was an accident, but I'm going to say that Jeanette intentionally wore white as our lector today, because white is the symbol of new life. Do you know when else we use white in the church?
Weddings,
communions. Ah, what? Easter we use it? Christmas Day we use it? Baptism of our Lord we use it? And also funerals. The large white pall that we put over a casket reminds us of the white of our baptism, the white of the birth of Jesus, the white of the rebirth of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. It reminds us of the central part of the baptism in our lives. This past week, Vicar Matt and I were doing chapel. We're doing something in here. And he asked the question, he said, I'm just curious, I'm learning here. Why is the baptismal font way over on the side there? And I said, because nobody asked me when they were building this church. I said, if I had my druthers, if the architect had asked me, that baptismal font would have been right here. Right in the center, maybe even right in the center of church, so you have to go around it. So it's in the way all the time, so that it's not something we forget and we remember when we light a candle or have a baptism, but it's something that is integral to our lives, because we are people who are put to death, our old selves, and brought to new life. Part of what we do when we celebrate All Saints Day, and in fact all memorials and funerals that we do, is we commend those we have lost. Oh, look at me even using it. Those we have lost. We commend those who have died in the faith to the love of God's care. We proclaim that God's kingdom is not some distant place, some far off place, but rather that exists here and now, and it exerts its influence on us right now, and it transforms our lives. All Saints Day, along with all Christian funerals, are a repetition and a rehearsal of that Easter promise, that there is something more. There is something that transcends our immediate experience of grief and sadness. Our lives are stories that do not end when we die. We all will die, no matter how fast and how far we try to run. But Christ changed our story, not to deny death, but to defy it, to defy its ability to overshadow and distort our lives. For the risen Christ has promised that death does not have the last word in our story. Because even when we die, even when those close to us, even when those we work with, those in our family, those friends who sat next to us in our pews, even when they die, even when those we love die and it seems too much to bear, even when our mourning and crying and pain are very, very present, our story is not over. See, Christ says, I am making all things new. And that's our promise, dear people. That is where the blessing in this gospel lesson starts to make sense. Blessed are those who weep now, for one day you will laugh. And that is the promise that makes this not just a day of mourning for those who died, but in rejoicing for those who live eternally. Amen.